Luke chapter 2, and we're looking at the character, as Lindsay said, of Simeon. We spoke very briefly this morning in the worship service, the breaking of bread, and I want to look back there again. I don't know if you're watching Laura write in the blackboard there. It's always murder watching somebody with a left hand. How do they do these shapes? The opposite direction. But there you are, the Corrie fisted. I used to sit beside a left-hander at school, and man, I think it damaged my writing forever. Now, on to Luke chapter 2, and if you have a Bible there, we are on verse 25. The scene is the temple. Jesus has been circumcised, and he's gone to the temple for the purification, not as some teach of him. The purification was for the parents, and they offered up the sacrifice that marked out a poor family, two doves. It was all they could afford. They could have had a lamb or a ram, but it was two doves. And we come in there at verse 25, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Now, Simeon is a great man to study. He's a great man to study for Christians, and he's a great man to study if you're not a Christian, if you're not quite sure. And the first thing I have to say to you really is that in these days in the 21st century, you know, things are pretty easy-ozy. But we need to get back to our Bible where God speaks with finality. There's so much in the gospel today for the Christian and for the non-Christian, the unbeliever, some of the not sure. There's so much that it's as if we come to examine it and we pick the bits we like and we throw away the bits we don't. And as a Christian, I speak quite truthfully. I need to be honest with you. It's not a confessional, but I need to be honest. But, you know, we talk of God in judgment, and we think of those terrible descriptions in the book of the Revelation, the great white throne and so on. But when God says something like, "Here is my son," Jim Cunningham quoted it this morning, "Here is my son, in whom is my delight," that's a judgment. And God has spoken with finality. The gospel message speaks to us all with finality. And when Simeon speaks in the Spirit of God, he speaks with finality. It's not an option. The Bible says you must be born again. So it's marked by finality. And the estimate that you and I should put in things is, what is God's estimate of it? What does God say about it? That's the estimate we ought to say about it. Jim, I talked to Jim there, Jim McGilvery there, and we were saying, you know, it's fine. It's murder trying to live like a guy like Simeon, because we like the nice things we have. I like my outdoor life. I like to sail. I like having a boat. And you have things you like, you know. But what does God say about all these things? How are we using them? Are we sharing them? You know, I don't think God ever thought that a rich man, he never really grudged a rich man his things. People with big houses and things we hear about, standards of living that are high. But what's the man's responsibility? Is he like a miser with it, or does he share it as if he was a steward of God? But, you know, just that's just a first comment that I need to make. It's finality in the gospel. And the other thing when we see a man like Simeon or look at ourselves is this, that God, for a long time, works from the inside. We're obsessed today with the approach of the social work department. They work from the outside in, thinking there's something good in there. But God works from the inside out and back to Christ to get Christ in and the man out, the woman out, and then we get somewhere. And that's just by way of saying, that's how we come to Simeon, and it says this, the Holy Spirit was on him, the Holy Spirit was revealing things to him, and the Holy Spirit directed him to the temple, of God. What confidence he had in the Spirit. Jesus said when he went that he would leave a comforter. That comforter was the Holy Spirit. But Simeon, he gets a wee helping before, pre the crucifixion. Things had been revealed to Simeon that had been revealed to no one else. And it says there, it had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He was not going to die till he had seen the Christ of God. That had been revealed to him out of every other person on the planet in this first century, revealed only to him. So he had spirit confidence. He says, you, that must be a totally unusual thing, a completely unusual thing for somebody to have something revealed to them by the Spirit, the only man in his age. Maybe that thing, but we live in the days of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God, his purpose, his job, is to reveal Christ to us as we pray, as we read, as we live and have experiences. That's what the Spirit does. So there's revelations open to you and me, just like Simeon, if we would live like Simeon did. But moving on. David had things revealed to him by the Spirit. David said this, when his first child died, David prayed that God would take him. Take me, spare the child. David's left, child's gone, child dies. And then David pronounces, he cannot come back to me, but I shall go to him. That was in heaven. David said that through the Spirit. I've got a list. I'll have one more out of the list. Maybe a couple. Enoch, way back in Genesis, it says this, that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God and was not. He went out a walk one day, went a walk, and never come back. Imagine, he went straight to heaven. How did that come about? When we go to Hebrews, it says, by faith, Enoch. By faith. Enoch had revealed to him the truth of translation. The truth of translation. Out of his generation, and not for many, many generations to come, thousands of years to come, not until this very minute, was that truth revealed to anyone. And because Enoch lived in the truth and had the faith of the truth of translation, that is to say, that a person could go to heaven without first passing through the grave, without first dying. That was his faith, and in that faith he was taken to heaven. Simeon, he's the very opposite. It's been revealed to him that he's going to die, but not until he's seen the Lord Jesus. And he's perfectly happy with his lot. How many of you are happy with your lot? But that's what Enoch did. Peter, the apostle, these men and the Spirit were like that. That's what they were like, with the Lord first, and then the Spirit that he left them. You could think of Acts chapter 2. What did Peter say? Knowing that I am soon to put off this tabernacle. In other words, knowing that I am soon to die, the Spirit let him know that he was soon to pass away. His work on earth was done. What did the great apostle Paul, I suppose the most important apostle of them all, to him was given much more. Paul says, knowing that my departure is at hand. The Spirit would do it. And let me say today that Simeon, for the Christian, is a picture of a modern day Christian also, who could live in the Spirit. And I believe that before Christ comes to the air for his saints, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, there'll be folks on earth who are so with the Spirit that they'll be let know that the Spirit's coming. I don't see the date and the time, but they'll be let know that they will not die until they go through that time known as the rapture, or the coming to the air of Christ for his saints. Now that's wonderful. That's the Spirit. But how do we get to live in the Spirit? How would you or I, having been converted, ever get to live as close as this to the Spirit? We were talking this morning, we like our things, we like our music, our hobbies, our interests, whatever it is, we like it. And we need to try and get back from that a bit. But I just marked something here, and it's simple but so profound. Paul says this at the end of the book of Philippians. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. You get to be filled with the Holy Spirit as a Christian by thinking on these things. And the question we need to ask is, Simeon got there by watching what his eyes were seeing, by watching what his ears were listening to, by watching where his feet were walking, and by watching what these mitts were up to. Remember, the Christian life, it's a final way, but it's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. Moving on to. That's just by way, it's where I see Simeon in the big scene of things, in the big scene of things. He's really spirit controlled, and he's an example of what is possible for believers. He's a prepared servant, ready to receive his Lord. As Christians, we're supposed to be prepared servants, ready to receive our Lord, who's coming back. That's where we could place him, if you like, in this dispensation. Now, there came to Simeon the happiest day in his life. The Spirit-filled man, there's nothing extravagant in his behaviour. There's no big demands of his audience for money. Nothing like that at all. He seems to only have had an audience of two. I've got 10 times that. My no winner today. He went there at the right time, doing the right thing, and he was at the right place. That's what happens when you're a Spirit-filled person. Not the great and the big and so forth. He was right where he should be. And let me say this, if you're going to be converted, I don't know your hearts. I honestly don't know who's the believers and who's not, in the sense that God does. I can come to conclusions, but in the sense that God knows his own, I don't know. But you need to be doing what you should be doing, in the right place, at the right time. And that's when God will appear. And that's when Simeon saw the Lord Jesus. Now imagine for a minute, we were trying to imagine this morning in the worship service, there he was, and there was the answer to all his spirit movements, all his prayer, all his thoughts, all the longings of his heart, was there in the form of a baby. In the form of a baby. You see how close, how the grace of God works, and how close Jesus is. The Bible tells us that there's one who's closer than a brother. He sticks closer than a brother. My brother's always best for me. He's always sticking close. If I took a boat out into the deepest sea, furthest from land, he'd turn up. Hi, how are you doing? But there's one who sticks closer than a brother. And even as a baby, the principles of the gospel are clear to see. He could be taken in the arms of this, I judge, elderly man. This elderly man. I'm not going to die till I see the Lord's Christ. You know, our family would be no different from any other family. When a new baby appears, this baby, by the way, 6 weeks old, We know that because that was the age they were taken to the temple. 8 days for circumcision, boys, and 6 weeks presentation in the temple, sacrifices made for the purification of the parents. And there he was. And here's his prepared servant. And there he is. He got to hug baby Jesus. Our family, as I said, no different. When the new baby comes along, even half-hearted macho souls like me want a wee shot. You get a wee shot. That's right. You maybe not had children yourself, but you must know some. Or there was some in the family, or a friend had some. You went along to see the new baby. You went to the christening of the dedication service, and everybody got a wee shot. Simeon got his wee shot. He got to hug the baby Jesus. Simeon is like Jacob. Every day in Simeon's life was better than the one before, until at last there was the revelation of everything in front of his eyes, right there. And he got to hug the baby Jesus. All his hopes were there. It was the happiest day of his life. And I think most folks could say that the day they met the Saviour would be the happiest day in their life. An end of sin, the start of new things. Oh, there'll be disasters to come. There'll be failures to come. There'll be the bad feelings and the down moments and so forth. But generally speaking, there is not a Christian on the planet who could turn round and say that the day they met the Saviour was anything adverse to their soul. Everything works together for good to those who love the Lord. And here's Simeon, he loves the Lord, and he got his wee turn, and he was able to hold the new baby. Now, I've no doubt he did everything that everybody does with a new baby. You put your finger in the wee hands, don't you? And you tickle the wee feet. And he got to do that, I'm sure. And I don't know if Mary was a wee bit anxious at first when this old boy appeared. What are old men doing holding babies anyway? In fact, what do men hold babies for? They're not to be trusted, men with babies at all. That's a woman's thing. But he got his wee shot. And Mary was there. And I wonder if there was a wee apprehension. Hope he didn't drop him. Temple floors off a hard marble. That'll never do. No chance. No chance that this baby had been dropped. In fact, if anything, the baby would have been stifled by the pressure from this old man. The Christ of God, as a man, as a baby, in the temple. In the temple, right in front of his eyes. Wee hands, the wee feet, and the wee brow. But you know, apart from all the things that he would do, he bursts out into what is known as the Song of Simeon. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. How important is the word of God? How important it speaks with finality. My eyes have seen your salvation. The Bible says there is no salvation in any other. No salvation in any other. And then he goes on, it's a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What grace. Simeon goes beyond any other of the characters in Luke. Luke's got all these wee miniatures, and he sees a way beyond Zacharias. He sees a way beyond Elizabeth. He sees further than Mary. He sees further than Joseph. So you that when you have Joseph never gets a mention in the Bible, really. No. He goes further than them all, and he first of all sees this baby in this totally Jewish setting in a temple as the light there to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. See how God moves in grace? He's bringing in the Gentiles a completely new thing, and that's you and me, incidentally. We're the Gentiles, but he's not forgetting his own people. And we know that his own people, the nation of Israel, will have a place in things in a future day. But the graciousness and the expansion of Simeon, a man filled with the Spirit, and he sees the world picture today. I don't know if there's a country or a village or a hamlet, hardly, where there's not a Christian soul. He saw the gospel for what it was. Eternal. Universal. and he saw Christ as a baby for what he was, the way, the truth, and the life. He says, Jesus, I am come. I am come that they might have life. So he was prepared. But you know, he saw there all these great doctrines. Simeon was a well-taught man. He knew all about revelation and glory of Israel. He knew all about life and light and love. And he knew, I'm sure, the book of Isaiah. But he also saw it in human form. It's so like God to do that. The simplest person, the person in Paisley of the least understanding, might not understand doctrines that, you know, theologians could drag out this book, but they could understand a baby. Show me someone who doesn't kind of think about a baby the same as everybody else, and I'll show you a monster. The baby that could be taken in your arms. Christ is with us today in his spirit, and you can take him in your arms. What a gospel message we preach. That the Son of God, in his spirit, all is here, and he just simply needs to be believed on and accepted, taken, embraced. The old Puritans used to talk about closing with Christ, embracing Christ. Simeon got to do that. And if you can see the picture, that's what we can do today. Salvation, revelation, light and glory, seen in a baby. Seen in a baby. It's great. And the Spirit would have us all to do that. Christians as well, embrace him. How much better would our lives be? And how much less important would sometimes our things be? Our other interests. I've got a wee title here, the Christmas cards. The Christmas cards. If you get the religious type of Christmas cards, I'll guarantee it's nearly always the manger and the magi. That right? Did you ever get a Christmas card with Simeon on it? Holding the baby Jesus in the temple? You know, stick your hand up if you did, because I've never had one. Good, you've got one. Somebody remember, was it a Christian one? Ah, see, it's a Christian one. If you got a Christmas, Simeon's just forgotten, you know. But Simeon saw way beyond what the Magi saw. They came from a far country. And they followed a star to the place where he lay. Simeon followed the Spirit to the person, direct. They found the place. I know Jesus was there, but he saw the person. And by faith they went, and by the Spirit he went. I don't mean for a minute the Magi are some kind of lesser being. We all have our talents and we all have our place in God's things. But, and it's right to say that by faith we apprehend things. But don't forget the Spirit. The Spirit can lead us to greater things sometimes than our own faith. I sometimes think my faith would hardly take me out the door to speak to somebody or perhaps give them a tract. But the Spirit's a totally different thing. When the Spirit starts revealing things, it's great expansion. Sometimes, as I say, your faith relies on you. What's revealed by the Spirit relies on the Spirit, and that's of God. Bear it in mind. Bear it in mind. So nothing else. But you know, hastening on, it was the best day of his life. Just a word in passing. How will you end your days? Our population's expanding, and it's expanding with old people. If some of you ladies and gents here want to see how to end your days, look at Simeon. And if you really want to see how your days, and you're a lady getting on in years, look at the next character. The next character here is Anna. Look how Anna spent her last years. Her husband died after a few short years of marriage. No children, no nothing. See what she made of her faith. You know, do we need to live in days of endless moaning and groaning and carping? You know, it's so terrible getting old. Oh, it's mother getting old. I hope I never get old. You know that kind of thing? Look at these people. Look at Simeon. I judge he's old. And look at Anna who comes after. That's your homework. Look at Anna. Look at Anna. But you know, the Spirit must bring truth. Simeon doesn't only see the light that was to lighten the world, if you like, or the light that was to lighten the Gentiles. He also saw the circumstances in which that light would shine. and we come, if you like, to the dark side. One commentator, Mr. Coates, he talks about Simeon being allowed by the Spirit to see the dark side. And then he goes on to say there, destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against, and a sword piercing our own soul. You know, as they stood there holding that child's hands, I'm sure, you know, the wee feet, the wee body, the wee brow, the wee hands and feet and brow were to be pierced by nails and crowned by thorns. And he saw it. Now you imagine today if you had a baby. Imagine, just imagine. And you bring it in and somebody started to say, ah, and pronounce gloom and doom in that baby. You know it, but the social workers in, got this nutter out of here, but the Spirit is truthful. And he saw all that would be, how the glory of Israel would be rejected in Israel, and the light of the Gentiles would be put to death by the Roman power, the Gentile power. And a sword that through Mary's soul, she lived her whole life. There were other children, by the way. He had brothers and sisters. But that one single, pure, holy Son of God would live his whole life, and his mother would see his whole life. Nothing but rejection, spat upon, connived against, lies told against him, treated like an idiot, accused of being a demon. The Holy Son of God, that's what she would need to see. And all those in the first chapter or two of this book who came to the temple to find out about this wonderful baby and everything that was to be found about him. You know, I was sailing there in the summer and I passed a lighthouse on an island. Jesus, I suppose, some have likened him to a lighthouse, but you know, a lighthouse, and like our day when we went by, it was a sunny day and the sea is calm and it's the midday and the sun come out, yep, sun, just off the Cumbries, between Cumbria and Arran there, the sun come out, and the lighthouse looked lovely, all was rosy and great, but you know, a lighthouse is for storms and darkness and wind and tide and fog. And that's where Jesus comes in, the light of the world, the fog that closes in, the storms of life. He cuts through and he comes knocking at your heart's door. Well, let me in. Will you let me in? Will you accept me? Will you embrace? Will you take me up? And will you hold me? A sign spoken against. Mary was highly favoured. She was one of a remnant in Israel at this time. And the Christians of today are the same. A remnant of a population where everything seems to have gone mad. Those who are trying to follow a narrow way, and you know, the recent news there, even in holiday, you're getting the news in through the radio or the newspaper there, a mother killing her three children. Sons killing mothers. Daughters killing fathers. Young folks go out for a, you know, they go out to buy a McDonald's and don't come back. Stabbed. What a world we live in. You go on, you see it every day. It's murder and mayhem every night. So and so has got 10 years for murder and 20 and 30 and 40. And murderers suing the government. Mass murderers suing the government for ill treatment. You know, give us a break. But here we have the light of the world. The light of the world. And poor Mary there. Imagine, you know, your children dying before you. It's the worst thing that could happen to parents, isn't it? Nothing worse. So there you have it. You know, I'll stop there. But to embrace Jesus, as Christians, to embrace him. To embrace him, to exclude the things that hold us back. And for those who are not Christians, to embrace him. Because it will be the start of days for you. And like Simeon, perhaps we could all say, we can all now depart in peace. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we give thanks for the person of the Lord Jesus, even here as a child, and all his life, even his babyhood, even his infancy, filled with the great and glorious gospel, a light, a revelation, and yet how many are stumbled by him. A stumbling block in Israel, the rising and the falling of so many. And our Father, as we scan over the nation, how many rose to the heights with Christ, and how many stumbled and went to a lost eternity by stumbling at him and refusing him. Our Father, part us with the conviction that we ought to live as Simeon lived, and that we ought to accept Christ and embrace him as our Saviour. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.